Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: while rotating in the cycle of birth and death, again and again, in different species, because of his own fruitive activities, the dependent living entity, by good fortune, may happen to become a human being. This human birth is very rarely obtained. Purport: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully independent. Thus it is not always a fact that living beings' loss of all opulence is a sign of the Supreme Lord's mercy upon him. The Lord can act any way he likes. He may take away one's opulence or he may not. There are varieties of forms of life and the Lord treats them according to the circumstances as he chooses. Generally, it is to be understood that the human form of life is one of great responsibility. Purushah prakritisthohi bhungte prakritijan gunan karanam gunasangosya sadasat yoni janmasu. The living entity in material nature follows the ways of life, enjoying three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. Bhagavad Gita 13:22. After thus rotating through many forms of life in the cycle of birth and death, the living being gets a chance for a human form. Therefore, every human being, especially one belonging to a civilized nation or culture, must be extremely responsible in his activities. He should not risk degradation in the next life, because the body will change. Tatha dehantara praptir. We should be extremely careful. To see to the proper use of life is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. The foolish living entity declares freedom from all control, but factually he is not free. He is fully under the control of material nature. He must therefore be most careful and responsible in the activities of his life. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam karoti vachalam panghum langhayate girim yatkrpa tavaham vande shri gurum dinatarnam sri chaitanya ishwaram paramananda madhavam namaom vishnu padaya krishna prishthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദീ പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി വാഞ്ഛാകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യൈവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ ജയ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധർ ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ. സോ വൺസ് അഗൈൻ ഇറ്റ്സ് മൈ ഗുഡ് ഫോർച്യൂൺ ടു ബി ഹിയർ അറ്റ് ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത മാനർ ആൻഡ് ബി അമംഗ്സ് ദ വണ്ടർഫുൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഹിയർ ആൻഡ് ഗെറ്റ് എൻ ഓപ്പർച്യൂണിറ്റി ടു റെൻഡർ സം സർവീസ് ടു ദ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഹിയർ. I'd like to seek the blessings of all the devotees, particularly all the senior devotees and Prabhupada disciples present here. Before we discuss this particular verse that is listed on the board. So at this point in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, we are discussing the story of Bali Maharaj, the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, offering his life in surrender unto the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadev. In the nine processes of devotional service, each process is personified by an example, and Bali Maharaj happens to be the example for Atma Nivedanam or complete surrender. So we have for Shravanam, the process of hearing, the example is Parikshit Maharaj. For Kirtanam, the example is Shukdev Goswami. For Vishnu Smaranam, remembrance of the Lord, the example is Prahlad Maharaj. For Pada Sevanam, worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, the classic example is Lakshmi Devi. For Archanam, worshipping the deity form of the Lord, the example is Prithu Maharaj. For Vandanam, offering prayers to the Lord, the example is Akrura. For Dasyam, acting as a servant to the Lord, The example is Hanumanji. For Sakhyam, acting as a friend to the Lord. The example is Arjun, Sudama, many particularly Arjun is quoted. And finally, for Atmanivedanam, or complete surrender, the example is Bali Maharaj, the episode that we are discussing now. And surrender seems to be very scary. You know, complete surrender seems to be very scary. For all of us who come to the path of Krishna consciousness, a little surrender, little life like this, that's good, you know. Krishna, some a little bit your way, a little bit my way, we will strike a win-win solution. You know, let's have a balance. 100% surrender? What do you mean? Give your wife, husband, children, property, body, money? You know what that means? Hard-earned money? Everything to Krishna? My goodness, that's too much. One time Srila Prabhupada was in a train in India and he was sitting with some of his sannyasi disciples. And one Indian men always want blessings. Everyone wants blessings, but in India particularly, it's just how it is. You know, always blessings. Even at the immigration counters, many times there's some Indian, they say, "We'll stamp, but please bless us." They'll ask you to bless them even at the immigration counters. So Indian people are very, everyone, but in particular, you'll find in India, blessings of a sadhu, saintly soul is considered very, very, very important. So this man came up and Prabhupada was sitting. So he said, "Swamiji, I want your blessings." So Prabhupada said, "What blessings do you want?" He said, no, you please bless that, you know, my family will be nice, and bless that all my life will move on in a direction of prosperity. Please bless me that I be prosperous and happy." Prabhupada said, "I don't have those blessings." And then Prabhupada turned towards all his sannyasi disciples and said, "If you want my blessing, this is my blessings." This man said, "I'll come sometime, some other time." And he left the place. So to surrender is a very scary proposal. To lose, you know, to lose by the power of destiny, if someone loses, we don't have a choice. If it's karmic, someone loses in his business. There are hundreds of people who have lost in their business. Hundreds of people who have lost their wealth. Hundreds of family people who have been deserted away from their families. If destined by karmic providence, one doesn't have a choice but to say, "Well, what to do? This is how it was meant to be." But to willingly give things away for the pleasure of the Lord, my God, it's too much, you know. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada went to America, the way devotees surrendered and the way devotees gave everything away, it's quite amazing. One American man came, one American young boy, hippie, he came to Srila Prabhupada and he was very impressed by hearing Srila Prabhupada. So the next morning he came, he sold everything he had. So inspired, he sold everything he had and came and gave $25,000 to Srila Prabhupada. Back in those days, $25,000 meant a lot, you know. Gave away everything. And then Prabhupada took that, and then Prabhupada showed him the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, and then gave Canto 1, and then Prabhupada said, $5. He just gave away $25,000. And Prabhupada said, $5. So this man had no choice. Whatever little $5 he had in his pocket, he gave it to Srila Prabhupada. And then after he left, then one devotee said, "Prabhupada, they gave $25,000. What is this? You're asking $5. Prabhupada said, "That was donation, fund collection. This is book distribution." Giving out the book and taking $5 for the book. But it is quite inspiring to see how devotees gave their lives and, you know, surrendered. And therefore, our acharyas have explained what is the definition of Sharanagati or surrender. In one verse, three aspects of Sharanagati have been described. Firstly, Bhagavat Bhakti Tahas Sarvam Iti Utsrijya Vidheyrapi Kainkaryam Krishna Padaika Ashrayatvam Sharanagati. Sharanagati means three things. Complete surrender means three things. The first one is Bhagavat Bhakti Taha Sarvam. Bhagavat Bhakti, devotional service unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, is Sarvam, everything. When a devotee accepts that devotional service to Krishna, to Guru, to the devotees is everything in my life, it gets the highest priority in my life. That is the first step of Sharanagati. Bhagavat Bhaktitaha Sarvam. In the world today, we see, even we as practitioner devotees, devotional service is not the be all and the end all for us. There are other things also that gain importance, that gain priority. And most often, if not always, they take equal priority. Devotional service is not the highest priority. Yes, devotional service is a priority, but along with it, this is also a priority, that is also a priority. There are hundreds of other things which take equal priority to devotional service. And therefore, when we talk about Sharanagati, Sharanagati means devotional service takes the highest priority. Like many people say, you know, the first big stones first. When the big stones go in, everything else follows. Sharanagati doesn't mean we don't give priority to other things. Srila Prabhupada, following Bhaktivinoda Thakur, gave so much priority to health and said that swasthya comes before sadhana. Our devotional service and our sadhana bhakti is important, our chanting is important, but taking care of health is very important because it's a means to practice our sadhana. So yes, everything else takes priority. But there is no question of devotional service being on an equal pedestal in terms of priority to anything else in life. You know, in the world outside, my God, people put so many things as the topmost priorities of their life. When one is a child, his priority is writing exams, isn't it? Therefore, life, as I say, is www.com. So for a child, it is write.com. Keep writing exams. And when he grows up, the child grows up, then what happens? Work comes into life. Work.com. And when work comes, then that becomes the priority. Haven't we seen this? How that suddenly becomes the priority of life? And work for what? Just to go and serve the boss? For wealth.com. Therefore it becomes www. Then wealth becomes such a priority. Investments, stock markets, how to invest the money. My God. You know. And then is that all? No, then there is a wife.com, right? Then the guy or the girl will get married, or the husband, whichever way. Then that becomes, family becomes a priority at that time, you know. My God, family, I have to get my child to the school, I'm going to get my family, I'm going to get my wife, my bio, buy this for my wife or my husband, buy a home, you know, close to the temple in Harrow, or at Radlett, or somewhere, you know, I need to get so my child can go to Krishna Avanti school. Becomes a priority definitely, isn't it? And then when somehow things go haywire and wrong, then for a lot of people, wine becomes priority. Wine.com, just get rid of all the stresses and their anxieties. And then at a point of time, the guy weeps.com, thinking that I wasted.com my life. Somehow, seems that life will keep us distracted with priorities. Life will always keep us distracted with so many other priorities that we cannot put the highest priority on what is of the greatest value. Highest priority must go to something that is of the greatest value. Not to say that family is less, not to say that wealth is not important, not to say that students shouldn't write exam, not to say that we shouldn't work, not to say that these other things are not important. I'm not talking about wine, of course. You know, we are into divine. So since we are into divine, of course, we are not talking about wine. So not to say that these priorities are not important, but Sharanagati means nothing takes precedence in life than devotional service to Krishna. So one who makes that as the priority is now slowly getting ready for complete Sharanagati or surrender. The second aspect of Sharanagati or surrender is iti utsrijya vidherapi. Such a person who is ready for surrender to Krishna completely does not go by material rules and regulations. In fact, such a person doesn't even go by the rules and regulations of the scripture always. Now don't get me wrong. Not to say that we don't follow the rules and such devotees don't follow the rules. But if that rule is becoming an obstruction in surrender to Krishna, then such a devotee wouldn't even mind compromising with that rule. Yudhishthir Maharaj, for instance, wanting to surrender to Krishna, but his attachment to speaking the truth became an obstruction in his surrender to Krishna. Not willing to give up the attachment to speaking the truth. I'm not saying we should speak a lie. What if Gokulananda comes tomorrow down and says, speak a lie, what will we do? If the devotees here are asked, if the deities come off the altar and say that you must speak a lie for such and such cause, what should we do? Follow or not follow? The devotee there is saying we should follow. My God. But Gokulananda won't come down for us. So we might as well stick to the truth. But if the Supreme Lord himself asks that we speak a lie for the establishment of dharma, then attachment to speaking the truth is a dharma. Speaking the truth is dharma in all situations. But when that speaking the truth becomes an obstruction in following what Krishna wants for the establishment of dharma, that becomes a dharma. Yudhishthir wasn't willing to speak a lie. When Krishna said, you say that Ashwatthama is dead, Yudhishthir said, I can't say it. How can I speak a lie? Therefore, Sharanagati means willing to give up the vidhi. When it comes to serve Krishna and give everything to Krishna, even if it means to give something off in terms of the vidhi, I'm willing. Arjun, on the other hand, when Krishna told him, kill Karna, Arjun said, my dear Lord, Karna's wheel is stuck. He doesn't have weapons. It is against the codes of dharma. It's against the code of kshatriya conduct to fight a guy like that. How can I kill him when his wheel is stuck? He doesn't have a chariot. He doesn't have weapons. The wheel of his chariot is stuck. He's unarmed. It will be against the code of dharma. Krishna said, Arjun, I'm telling you, for the establishment of dharma, you do it. I'll take care of everything. You do it. Arjun did it. Therefore, Sharanagati means, if a lower principle has to be compromised for a higher principle, a devotee is willing to do that and is not unduly attached to the ritualistic propositions made by the scriptures. You know, sometimes devotees will come and ask, should we do a Shraddha for our grandfather or no? It's a common thing. I get this question. I get this question all the time in India. I don't know here if they do it. Here, anyways, who cares, Shraddha or no Shraddha, you know, forget, there's no question of Shraddha, I don't know. But in India, every now and then devotees come and ask this question, should we do it, should we not do it? Should we follow this vidhi, should we not follow this vidhi? Someone's born in our house, someone's dead in our house, 13 days there is this thing called sutak, should we go to the temple, should we not go to the temple? Should we serve the deity, should we not serve the deity? Should we cook for our deities at home, should we not cook for our deities at home? God, hundreds of questions like that. Sharanagati means learning to understand what is a lower principle, what is a higher principle, and how we may be willing to give up a lower principle for a higher principle, of course based on proper consultation with Guru and senior Vaishnavas. And the third is Kaikaryam Krishna Padaika. A person who is completely surrendered is Kaikaryam. Kaikarya comes from the word Kinkara. King Kara. Kim in Sanskrit means what? Kara. Shall I do? Kara also means palms. Such a person will fold his palms and says, Kim Kara, King Kara, King Kara, what can I do for you, sir? What can I do for you, sir? Of course, a lot of people in the service industry outside also say, sir, what could we do for you? Can I get something for you, sir? Even on the planes, they'll ask, can I get you something, sir? Constantly, King Kara, what can we do for you? And therefore, the third aspect of Sharanagati is to become a servant. Prabhupada said the meaning of the word Kinkara is servant. I want to serve you, Krishna. You know, serve you with whatever I have. Whatever is in my possession, I want to serve you with what I have. If I have intelligence, I want to serve you by intelligently organizing the preaching movement, intelligently studying the scriptures and preaching. If I have a good voice, I want to serve you by singing for your pleasure. If my hands are blessed by Annapurna Devi, Srimati Radharani, I want to serve by cooking for you, Krishna. If my hands are blessed to make beautiful garlands with dexterity and skill, I want to serve you by making those garlands, Krishna. Sharanagati is not lip talk. Sharanagati is translated into action. Therefore, whether one has affluence or influence, with affluence and influence and with whatever else one has at one's beck and call, one is willing to offer that in service to Krishna. That is Sharanagati. And Srila Prabhupada was amazing because he created a practical infrastructure to practice Sharanagati. All of us are getting the opportunity to do through whatever little service we could do to Shishi Radha Gokulananda by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Amrish Prabhu, like Bali Maharaj, great grandson of Henry Ford, Mr. Alfred Ford, I mean, willing to give anything. He came to Bombay once and he was giving a class. He began his talk by saying, I was born in a wayward family. Began his talk by speaking like this. And then ended his talk within 15 minutes. He said, I don't deserve to be saved by Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada saved me. Started crying. He couldn't speak any further. And seeing such a big man, so touched by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and willing to offer everything he has to serve, Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai. Willing to offer everything to serve was very inspiring. And even then he was just giving the Fisher Mansion in Detroit. He purchased the Fisher Mansion. He had money. Whatever one has, we are willing to serve with that. He was willing to part away with his money, and that's the hardest. Very hard. When one earns money, you know, with sweat and toil, to part away with that money, very difficult. So Sharanagati, yes, is everything else okay? But, you know, can't. Oh my God, one temple president came to a temple and said, we are now building a new temple and we definitely need a lot of money to build the new temple. He said, I have good news and bad news both. He said, the good news is, all the money that we need is already there. He said, the bad news is, it is still in all of your pockets. You know, so it needs to come out and we start using it in service to Krishna by donating to build the temple. It's not easy to part with money. And Amrish Prabhu gave so much money to buy the Fisher Mansion with Lekha Shravanti Devi, who was the daughter of the, you know, the Union leader. And they were technically speaking rivals, but both of them came together to buy the Fisher Mansion. And then Srila Prabhupada said, I want to buy a land in Kurukshetra, India. He wrote to Amrish Prabhu. Amrish Prabhu said, no problem. He sent a check of $100,000 to India. Now when he received the receipt back, in America, on the receipt, there was only $10,000 written. You know, so he sent $100,000 but got a receipt only of $10,000. So he, Prabhupada was there at that time, he had arrived. So he said, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada started laughing. He said, that is India. Sometimes one zero goes missing. Don't worry. Prabhupada told Amrish. He said, that is India. Sometimes one zero goes missing here and there. Don't be so anxious, everything will be okay. And then of course in two days later, the banker wrote back saying, we're very sorry, actually it was $100,000. And the receipt came back. And years later, Srila Prabhupada is gone. And still the Sharanagati, the Atma Nivedan, Bali Maharaj probably is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in ISKCON, we have seen many Bali Maharajas. Not one. Every community of ISKCON all over the world, we have seen hundreds of Bali Maharajas who have had so much at their beck and call, but who chose to give, to serve, because they accepted these three principles of Sharanagati. First, Bhagavat Bhaktitaha Sarvam. Devotional service to Krishna is everything. Second, Iti Utsrajya Vidherapi. To practice a higher principle, we are willing to compromise with a lower principle, of course based on consultation with Guru and Krishna, not by the whims of our minds. And thirdly, Kainkaryam Krishna Padayaka. We are willing to serve Krishna with whatever resources we have. That is called Sharanagati. And therefore we all have the facility to practice the Sharanagati. To accept devotional service as our topmost priority and not compromise with that priority. To understand what is a higher principle and a lower principle. And thirdly, to actually serve Krishna, practically serve Krishna with whatever resources we are blessed with by the grace of Krishna himself. And therefore in this episode we find Shukracharya coming and telling Bali, I'm telling you man, don't give everything away to Vamandev. The Lord came and took his incarnation as Vamandev, as a little dwarf Brahman boy. And when Bali Maharaj said, ask for something, Lord Vamandev said, give me 3 steps of land alone. That's a joke. That's a joke. You know, if you go to the Prime Minister or the President of a country and he's so happy with you and you say, ask what you want. He say, give me 3 steps of land. Say, what are you asking? Bali Maharaj said to him, what are you asking, you young boy? Ask me anything. I'll give you anything. Everything is under my control. I have conquered Indra's throne. I'm sitting on Indra's throne. The whole of heavenly abode is under my control. Ask for anything. I'll give it away to you. He said, no. I'm happy. 3 steps of land. Shukracharya turned to Vaman and said, Bali Maharaj and said, don't trust them. That's Krishna, you know. He comes small and grows big in our life. All of you have experienced, he came as one little Mangalarti sweet and look at what has happened to all of you. He comes and asks for little 3 steps of land and conquers our lives, and so is Maya. And so is Maya. She comes, enters in slowly, this much, and takes over. I think Krishna and the material energy in this aspect are the same. They behave in the same pattern. They enter small and grow big, like they say, isn't it? He entered in as a needle and came out as a plow. Entering as a needle and coming out as a plow. One line to define Vamandev. Entered in the life of Bali as a needle, 3 steps of land, and came out as a plow, taking away practically everything he had. Shukracharya said, he's deceitful. He's Vishnu. Not a little dwarf boy. He's Vishnu. He's asking for 3 steps of land. He will take away everything. Be cautious. Didn't our relatives, friends tell us this? Don't go to that ISKCON temple. You know? Don't go there. They take away everything, including your hair. Why are you going there? Don't take this devotional service too seriously. You may go visit, take darshan a little bit before any of those bald guys talk to you. Get out! If they talk to you, you're gone, man. Don't allow them to speak to you. Go like any other temple, see darshan, like, and they'll go like this, or sometimes, you know, behind. They don't want to face their back to the deities. They'll go like this, reverse turn, and they'll go, but don't talk to anyone. Their life will be lost. My God. Shukracharya warned. So many people warned us, you know. We didn't listen. What to do? Now don't complain. Shukracharya warned them, don't give it away. When Shukracharya said this, the Bhagavatam explains, Tushnim Babhuva. Bali was silent. When Shukracharya said, don't give these 3 steps of land to this dwarf boy, Bali was silent. Very important lesson. Making important decisions in life requires silent introspection. Haste makes waste. Any decision made in haste always makes waste. Making important decisions of life requires silent introspection. Without proper introspection and weighing all the options, or what we would call in the world outside as a cost-benefit analysis, to come to a conclusion would probably be so hasty that we would regret that decision for the rest of our lives. Guys and girls have regretted their decisions to marry a particular partner in a haste, have realized that this is not probably what we should have done. We just got obsessed. People have regretted their decision of investing in a certain business. People have regretted their decisions of, you know, going here, going there, settling somewhere, settling there. Students have regretted their decisions to get admitted into a certain university. God, decision making is such an important aspect of life. And particularly when it comes to Sharanagati or surrender, any hasty thing which is beyond our level of advancement will put us in trouble. Therefore, Bali, as soon as Shukracharya said, don't give it, Tushnim Babhuva, silent, thinking, weighing everything carefully, And in several verses in chapter 20, Bali Maharaj gives 10 different reasons why he wants to surrender to the Lord. Why he wants to offer everything unto the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva, you know. And therefore his decision is based on proper deliberation. Decision making comes by three factors in life. First, it comes by Sukruti. Sukruti means pious deeds. Someone who has a lot of pious deeds from previous lives, for them to make right choices is not all that hard, because piety is the background from previous lives. Good upbringing is the background in this life. We may see people who may not have even come to the Krishna consciousness movement, but the upbringing is good, culture is good, there's a lot of piety from previous lives. Such people end up making proper choices. The second way to make proper choices and decision is based on what is called as Viveka. Viveka means discrimination. One knows what is right, what is wrong. One uses one's intelligence, weighs everything carefully. Yeah, this is not a good decision to make. Yes, this is a good decision to make. If I invest this much money here, I get this much money, this one, not that much, I think I should go for that. That's called Viveka, you know. Oh, such and such option to settle near the school, not settle near the school, going to the school is closed, temple is closed, devotees are closed, Krishna consciousness will work very well. Okay, let's move here. That place, devotees are far, school is far, temple is far, work is far, everything is far, so better I don't. Vivek, use the sense of discrimination, intelligence. The third aspect our acharyas have explained to make decisions is called Kripa, mercy, the Lord's grace. And therefore, in making choices of this world and decisions between things of this world, the first two are good, Sukriti, piety, and Viveka, discrimination. But when it comes to make decisions in Krishna consciousness, simply these two don't work. You know, these two simply are not sufficient to make the right choices in Krishna consciousness. And in Krishna consciousness, we will always be confronted by right and right choices. When it's a right and a wrong choice, that's easy. But when it's a right and a right choice, how do you decide? Going to the temple to listen to the lecture is a right choice, and to serve in the kitchen is a right choice. Both are right choices. Which one do you choose? Someone may say, we will serve in the kitchen and listen to the lecture on the sound system there. That's a good idea. Does life give us always these balanced win-win solutions? I'm sorry to say, it doesn't. Therefore, to make proper decisions between right and right, there is need for Kripa, mercy. Krishna says in the Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. For a sincere devotee, Krishna gives that inspiration from within, which when consulted with Guru and the Vaishnavas outside, becomes a proper decision. And therefore, Bali Maharaj was not just a pious guy. He was born in the family of demons. He fought against the demigods, the grandson of Prahlad, but fought against the demigods. How much piety did they have from that point of view? Viveka, fine. But the grace of the Lord, Krishna's Kripa, that made him take the proper decision. Therefore, for a devotee, such a crucial priority to learn how to get Kripa. All what we do in our sadhana bhakti, all our service, all our chanting, all our reading, all our hearing, all our deity worship, everything is primarily meant to attract the grace of the Lord, pushti, kripa. And when that pushti, when that kripa comes, that grace comes, by that grace, insurmountable obstacles can be crossed over, even in terms of decision making. And decision making is not as easy it seems to be from a Vyasasana sitting and listening to a talk. In life, my God, when we are confronted with decisions, how does one do things? You know, a lady was molested, a devotee lady was molested. She was pregnant. Unmarried girl. What should she do? Gives birth to the child? Keeps the child? Or drops the child? Keeping the child? Devotee girl? Who will marry him? Who's going to marry her? You know, who will marry that girl? What will she do? How will the child be brought up? Concern. Drop the child? Srila Prabhupada said it's not right to do it. Abortion, not proper, Srila Prabhupada's purports again and again saying, how does she make that decision? I'll tell you, life sometimes puts in front of us choices and decisions which are not as easy. My God. That is why when we read the Mahabharata next week, I think it's a Mahabharata series, something here, classes. Mahabharata is an incredible book, you know, always confronted by these confusing choices and decisions. How does one make that decision? You know? Therefore, Kripa is very, very important. Guidance from seniors, from Guru, and mercy of Krishna from within is very, very important. And that particular calling, when consulted with superiors, when we follow that, there's no reaction for it. Bali Maharaj was silent. Tushnim Bhavuva. Silent. He felt silent. And in his silence, he deliberated. And after deliberating, he spoke to Shukracharya and gave 10 different reasons why to give everything away to Vishnu. And they are amazing reasons. Incredible. But it's 8:30. So we will stop here. Huh? 15 minutes? Otherwise, we could take it up some other time. Anyway, I'll cover as many as I can. Few till quarter to nine. So the first reason, he spoke to Shukracharya and he said why he wants to give everything away to Lord Vamanadeva. Bali Maharaj contemplated in his mind as he was silent and thought to himself, in the world out there, religion, spirituality is not a problem. For a lot of people, religious practice, spirituality, surrender is all okay so long as it does not hamper their material progress. Everyone's all right with it. That's what exactly Shukracharya was saying. Boy, you go ahead, give it away. But not at the cost of your material prosperity going away, man. Everything is going to go away. This guy is asking for 3 steps of land. Mind you, he will take everything away. So my advice is, give, no? But why everything? Let God not be an obstacle in your material prosperity. You know, if God is becoming an obstacle in your material prosperity, either slow down on God or cut down on God. You're going too fast on God. So we'll hear that advice. Slow down, man. Relax. You're becoming too surrendered. How many of you heard that from family or friends? Devotees here. You're becoming too surrendered. Compliment. From a spiritual point of view, it's a compliment. Sometimes in Hindi, they will say, tum bahut badal gaye ho. You've changed a lot, you know, your hairstyle. You've changed a lot. You put on a lot of weight also. Devotees eat too much prasad, no? One devotee, I was in Hyderabad recently, and one devotee told me, in the Hare Krishna movement, there's no concept of dieting. Because our philosophy is die eating. He said, we die eating, so there's no question of dieting. We die eating prasad. Krishna will take us back to God. So people know to change in us, you know, somehow, for whatever reason. And a lot of people feel that it is going to hamper our... Some of you here are parents to young teenage children. How many parents here are worried that your child might go in and join the Brahmacharya ashram and become a useless creature? You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to raise your hands. But the fact of the matter is, parents are so worried. In India, you should come and see in India. They will tell their children, upar upar se kar beta, jada andar mat ghus. They will tell them, you know, do it on the surface. Don't go too deep. Because if you go too deep, it is a threat to your material prosperity. Your life wouldn't be normal. That's not the case. So many grihasthas, wonderful devotees, doing sharanagati, surrendering. But such a worry. Shukracharya had exactly the same worry. If you give everything away, God, do all that God stuff, Vishnu, all that, fine. But not at the cost of hampering your material prosperity and progress. Either slow down or cut down. And Shukracharya's advice was, cut down. What's a devotee? A devotee has given such high priority to Krishna consciousness. even if it means that my material prosperity is hampered, I cannot give up on Krishna. Even if it means everything is gone, I cannot give up on Krishna. That's what Palli Maharaj was contemplating in his mind as he was silent. He told Shukracharya, well, your advice is fine, but for me, I cannot. For me, Krishna is just a part of my life. You know, Gujarati people, most all Gujaratis, they like sugar in everything they eat, you know. Their taste is sweet. They have a sweet tongue, I feel. You know, so they like sugar in their chutney, they like sugar in their dal, they like sugar in their sweets, of course. They like sugar practically in everything. That's their taste. You know, South Indians, they like coconut in everything. You know, in their sambar, in their chutney, in their this, in their everything. You know, Bengali people, they like mustard in everything they have. A dash of mustard sauce, mustard oil has to be there everywhere. You know, Maharashtrians, they like peanuts in everything they add to. Maharashtrian people, everything they add peanuts. If someone has an Italian taste, they like to add herbs in everything. Basil, oregano. Why? Because you have a certain taste. When there's a certain taste and you love that taste, it becomes a part of every preparation. The problem is we don't have that taste for Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is not a part of everything in our life. You know, if we have a taste for something, it comes in every aspect of our life. Every preparation, the sugar goes for a Gujarati, for a South Indian, every preparation, coconut goes. In every aspect of our life, Krishna doesn't come, which means we haven't developed a taste for Krishna so far. But a devotee, like Bali, has such devotion and love for Krishna. Krishna is a part of his life. That is his priority. And nothing can stop him from that. I lose, I don't care, but I can't stop on Krishna. We will all get a point of time in our life like that where we'll be at crossroads. We have to choose. Many of us have to choose like that. Either Krishna or this. And we generally want to go for a win-win. If there is no win-win, if there's only this or that, what we choose will decide what is our level of Sharanagati. Recently, one student from Mumbai, from a very reputed university, went to a very reputed institute of management in India. I won't take names. The best in India. And after he got admission there, he finished his course. This is his first job in life. He's only 24 years old. 23 probably. 23-year-old guy. His first job. And he got such a massive offer. So much money. So much money. For his first job. I won't tell the figure. This guy wrote to me from Bangalore where he was. He writes to me and saying, Prabhuji, I think this money is too much, but I don't have good association here and I don't think I'll be able to practice Krishna consciousness properly here. I want to come down to Bombay. I said, what are you talking? You know the salary for someone who begins a job at 23? This amount of money? He said, I don't care that much for money. I definitely want money. Not that I don't want money. I want money and I want to use that money in service to Krishna, but not at the cost of Krishna consciousness. So can I quit this offer and come to Bombay? And you know, I am from the Hare Krishna movement where vitamin M is very low. Along with the B12 and D3 and all that for vegetarians, vitamin M is also very low. So when I saw the vitamin M on a salary slip, I said, no, stay there. I will arrange for your association. Stay. I'll get devotees to come from wherever in the world to give you association. Already the markets are down. Why do you want to quit your job? It's not that we have to quit. But it does mean that we give priority, even if it means it hampers a little bit of our material comfort, you know. Secondly, Bali Maharaj was thinking in his mind, I am the great grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. I cannot let him down. The legacy of surrender must continue. Prahlad surrendered. I am his grandson. I must continue the legacy. Even in a family, sometimes the family business continues. Sometimes at least the physical looks continue. You know, faces look the same. And the legacy must go on. And the choice is always ours. Bali had two choices, to be like his grandfather Prahlad or to be like his father Virochan. One acted as a demon, one acted a devotee. And there will always be a choice to emulate a role model in our life. Who are our role models? You know, who are the role models in our devotional service? If the role models in our devotional service are good devotees, we will follow that legacy and make the proper choices. If the role model in our devotional service are some spaced out people, we'll probably make the wrong choices. You know, Prahlad Maharaj, I mean Bali Maharaj, decided to make that, proper choice. That I do not want to let the name of Prahlad down, my grandfather. Therefore, I'll give everything away to Vishnu, Vamandev. You're saying, Shukracharya, I should not give. He will cheat me. Let him cheat me. I don't mind. But I can't let Prahlad down. And therefore, one of the greatest responsibility of all of us, followers of Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON, is not to let Srila Prabhupada down. He has taught us, he has given us a legacy in his books, in the process of Krishna consciousness. Our acharyas have given it to us. And therefore we, following in the footsteps of Bali Maharaj, should always keep making those proper choices. You know, we will always be confronted with those choices. 2 years, no? One Krishna speaks, one Maya speaks. Interesting, Krishna created 2 years. You know, even at the last breath, there will be two choices. Krishna or Maya. Choices have to be made till the last breath. Bali Maharaj chose to follow Prahlad Maharaj instead of Virochan. And therefore the second reason he said is, I don't want to let my grandfather Prahlad down. Thirdly, Bali said, Mother Earth is so much burdened. There are heavy mountains, massive oceans. The whole planet Earth is burdened. Can you imagine Earth? Amazing, isn't it? Having Mount Everest, having Kilimanjaro, is massive mountains, massive, huge bodies of water. What a burden. What a burden. But Mother Earth, Bali said, is not as much burdened by all of these physical things as much as the burden of a liar. Anyone who speaks a lie, Bali said, is simply increasing the burden on Mother Earth. And she can tolerate all the physical burdens, but she cannot take the burden of someone who is a liar. And lying is such a conditioning. My God, lying is such a conditioning. Even amongst devotees. Even amongst devotees, lying is such a conditioning. Such a strong conditioning to defend our skin. When we make a mistake and we have to defend ourselves, the first thing that comes out is, I didn't do it. Did you do it? No, I didn't do it. We've experienced it all the time. You know, Bali Maharaj said, I don't want to increase the burden of Mother Earth by lying. I've told Vaman, I'll give 3 steps of land. If I don't, I'll be lying, I'll be cheating. I don't want to be a cheater. I don't want to be a liar. I do not want to increase the burden of Mother Earth. And therefore, please, whatever you say, I definitely will give this 3 steps of land to Vamandev, because I don't want to be called a liar. You know, the fourth thing he said is, I will give it away because I'm very fearful of offending a Brahmana. I'm not fearful of death. I'm not fearful of losing anything. I'm not fearful of anyone coming and doing anything to me. If there's one thing that I'm scared of, I don't want to offend. I don't want to hurt. Amazing verses I would recommend if you all want to read verse chapter 20. It's in chapter 20. Series of verses. Beautiful. And Prabhupada's purports, incredible. You know, we don't want to hurt anyone. We don't want to displease anyone. We don't want to offend anyone. I want to give this away to Vamandev because I'm afraid of only one thing. An offense to this Brahmana boy. Displeasing this Brahmana boy, this dwarf boy, Vamana, you know. And his displeasure, if I displease Vamandev, what are the 2 things that he may get angry? Wrath, or he may be displeased. Wrath, doesn't matter. If he's angry on me, I don't mind. But I don't want to displease I'll tell you something. Life becomes so easy, so meaningful, and so satisfying if we function based on the principle of pleasing. If the core principle that drives us in what we say and what we do is to please Krishna, please Guru, please the Vaishnavas, and for that matter, please others. There's no substitute that can replace the satisfaction that one derives by making the right choice of pleasing others. You know, and therefore, he said, I do not want to offend. A devotee is very scared of offending a devotee. The fifth thing that he said, I want to give everything away to Vamanadev, is because death will take everything away anyways. When death comes, time in the form of death will take things away anyways. Everything I have, you think I'll be able to carry it with me? Everything will go away anyways. When I travel all over the world, I see at the airport, when people come for the security, I don't know how they don't know it. Either they don't take note of it or they don't know it. I don't know how. But these guys and ladies, they are bringing most expensive things as hand-on, as carry-on bags, cabin baggage, you know, which has to pass through the X-ray machine. And they buy bottles of perfumes, which are like sometimes, you know, 500 quid, 500 pounds, 600 pounds worth, 200 ml, 300 ml vials of perfumes. Sometimes they'll buy alcohol, and this is not even duty-free. Because duty-free starts after security. So they're buying it all, they're carrying it in their bags. And funny, at the security, when it passes through the X-ray machine, the security in charge says, sorry sir, this you can't carry this on board. And they've already checked their bags now. And time is short, they can't go back. And they can't carry it on board. So you'll see these big, huge boxes where they have to drop all of their shaving gels, their expensive perfume, their wines. My God, it's amazing. When death comes and the flight takes off, no? Before the flight take off, there is a security. The security in charge is Yamraj. And the security officials are all the Yamadutas, the angels of death. And when you say, well, I want to carry my car, sir. I purchased this just 2 days before I died, you know. I said, sorry, this is not allowed on board, you know. Well, but I like my wife and my husband very well. Sorry, sir, not allowed on board. What's allowed on board? That you should have studied earlier. Before taking the flight, you should have gone through the airline's rules of what can be taken on board. Bali Maharaj very clearly said, sorry, what will I take anyways? At death, I can't take any. Shukracharya asked, you have any historical examples of people giving up things like that? He said, Dadichi Muni, he gave up his body. Indra and all the demigods said, we want your bones to make a vajra. That man was willing to give up his body and give his bones away. Shibi was willing to give up his body for that saving that little pigeon. They were willing to give up their body. All I have to give is land. No, what's the problem? It's just land. They gave up their body. And Prabhupada quotes in that purport, Sannimitte varam tyago vinashe niyatam sati. Before vinashe, before the things get destroyed by time, use them in such a way that we can carry something back. Therefore, Bali Maharaj was told, Shukracharya, death will anyways take everything away. Let me give it willingly. Time will take it everything away. Let me willingly serve. Willingly offer. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, if people don't want to offer Dandavat to Radha Gokulananda, then they have to offer Dandavat to time in the form of death. And that's a Dandavat forever. Never get up. One brahmachari from the Bhaktivedanta manor came years back to Chopati. And he was so jet-lagged and tired. On the first day he came to the temple during Guru Puja. And he offered Dandavat and he didn't get up for 15 minutes. And I remember one of our very senior devotee was standing there. He thought he's gone or something. What happened? He just laid there. And then the senior devotee asked, wake him up, you know. What happened? Just check. So when we went and he was snoring. So, so we woke him up. He got up. And then of course he came. Then we realized he's still alive, you know. And therefore, Dandavat is there. Either to time or to the Lord. So either we willingly offer, or death anyways takes it away from us. You know. Therefore, some people say life is like an ice cream. And some people say life is like a candle. Both melt, right? Ice cream melts and a candle melts. People who say life is like an ice cream, what is their philosophy? Life is like an ice cream, enjoy it before it melts. People who say life is like a candle, what is their philosophy? Illuminate before it melts. So both melt. Whether we want to simply keep enjoying, or whether we also want to illuminate our lives and others, is our choice. And therefore Bali said, I want to give everything away because death will anyways take things away from me. Sixth thing Bali said is, I want to give everything away because at the end of the day, I don't want to simply be a statistic. I want my good name and reputation to be there. My dear Shukracharya, you know what? He said, people will come to this world, have everything, but what brings good reputation? Someone who has given, someone who has served, someone who has parted away. There are so many people who have come and gone, so many people who had money who have come and gone. We don't know their names. But people who have given in charity, people who have served, people who have contributed, have left an indelible mark behind and had got great reputation. Srila Prabhupada came and did such an incredible service. His reputation, Ibe Jasha Ghushuk, Tribhuvan. Why only in the world? In Tribhuvan, in three worlds, your fame be spread in the three worlds. Bali said, I don't want to be infamous for not having given. I want fame, good reputation. I want people to remember that I did some service. The seventh thing he said is, this opportunity has come. I cannot neglect this opportunity. A lot of warriors get the opportunity to give their lives up for the nation. But I have got an opportunity to give my life for a donation. You know, they're giving nation, giving their life for nation. But I'm giving my life to give a donation. And I cannot let this opportunity grow. The eighth thing he said is, I want to give things away because I'll get blessings and blessings bring auspiciousness. In life, if there has to be auspiciousness, auspiciousness comes by blessings. I'm wanting the blessings of this dwarf Brahmana. I'm wanting the blessings of Vamanadev. Therefore, I'm giving away. The ninth thing, of course, he said is, the duty of Varnashram is to satisfy Vishnu. And if Vishnu has come, why are you stopping me from giving away? And the tenth thing he said is, once I give everything away, the Lord will definitely defeat me and take everything away by putting his third step on my head. But he will make a permanent residence in my heart. And these are 10 things for every devotee to remember. Why should we give to Krishna and serve Krishna? I will go through them once again as a quick summary. The first thing that Bali Maharaj said is, I want to give away because that is my priority in life. Even if it hampers my material prosperity, I'll give it away. Secondly, he said, I want to continue the legacy of my grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. We want to continue the legacy of Srila Prabhupada. Thirdly, he said, I don't want to increase the burden of Mother Earth by speaking lies. Truthfulness is a very important principle. Fourth, he said, I don't want to displease and offend the Brahmana. A devotee is scared of offending. He wants to please. Fifth, death will anyways take everything away. So why not use it in a way that I can take something along with me? Sixth, he said, I definitely want good reputation and name of having served. Seventhly, I've got this opportunity not just to lay my life for a nation but to give a donation to the Lord. I can't let go of this opportunity. Eighth, I'll get blessings which will bring auspiciousness. Ninth, the purpose of Varnashram is to serve Vishnu. And now that he has come, how can you stop me from doing that? And conclusively, my money will go, everything will go, but he will make his residence in my heart permanently. And that will be victory for me that I have achieved the grace of the Supreme Lord, Vamanadev. And in this spirit, Bali Maharaj then decided that he will give these three steps of land to Vamanadev, despite Shukracharya telling him not to do so. And then the later the story continues, and many more wonderful things happen in this episode in the 8th canto. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Bol.